Thank you so much for that season of prayer, and certainly these that we've listed so we get reports. Otherwise, you can keep them on your list. We'll trust God to meet needs. Again, we're thrilled to have missionary Ken Cantrell with us. He's no stranger to the Midwest. He attended the Alton Church over in Illinois and has some acquaintances in this region. But in 2010, they started their work where they presently labor in West Africa, and they're currently on the deputational trail and getting their funds together for their next term. And so we're going to welcome him in at this time and have a few questions and answers for him, as well as anything you might have, provided there's time. But Cantrell, welcome. We're thrilled that you're here. And I understand you are tucked away in Branson, Missouri. Is that correct?
We've been in Branson here for about 6 weeks. We're really roughing it here. In fact, I'm sitting in the living room with my shirt and tie on. I want to look really good for the church there. But just in honor of the church there in St. Louis, I'm just wearing socks. I'm not wearing any shoes. And because I know nobody else is, in fact, I'll bet Brother Williford's not wearing any shoes right now. So we're having a great time here in Branson. Actually, it's all closed up, and we're just waiting for this to move on.
Very good. Well, how are you doing with this shelter in place? I guess, what, since mid-March or so, you've been shut down?
Yeah, we were mid-deputation. We started deputation in February. I say mid, we were just about a few weeks into it. Mm-hmm. And then we landed in Ohio. We were in about probably a 10 by 12 foot evangelist quarters when everything started shutting down. So we thought we had to get out of town because we knew we had to cross over Illinois. Illinois was going bananas. And so we had to get home to Missouri. And so we've landed here in a little condo here in Branson and doing quite well.
Good. Now the whole world is listening. Are you and your wife still getting along with close proximity?
For the most part, we've done really well with social distancing. I'm not sleeping on the couch. I think we're going to be just fine. God's helping us.
Well, as Pastor has mentioned, you were with us in 2015 for our missions conference. That was a thrilling time for us. In this last term, you were getting ready to go on to, your second term then. In this last term, did you keep focused on developing future pastors and leaders, which was kind of your passion, as well as, of course, sharing the gospel?
Yeah, it's been a very good time of growth in Burkina Faso. We were thinking about this isolation thing. In 2016, we had our first attack in the capital city. And from then on, our lives really changed dramatically. There was a coffee shop downtown. In fact, I had a buddy, an American missionary, in that coffee shop. There was a couple of car bombs went off. He didn't die in the initial blast, but they went ahead and went inside and they executed anyone who could not quote what they would call the word of God. And so that started our attacks. And from then on, that was in 16. We left in November of 19. We know what isolation is. We've had over 650 attacks since that attack. In fact, our country in the north is completely shut down. ISIS has taken it completely. And then on the east side, they have all of that. We've got attacks happening about 25 kilometers outside of our city. And so it's been a real interesting thing. But what has been remarkable is that the word of God is, they are so hungry for the word that we don't call them our enemies even. We're calling them our brothers and sisters. That by faith, we're going to baptize them in Jesus' name. Because the church is advancing and is growing through all of this time. So although we did have a very unique and difficult season the last 5 years, under tables as bullets were going over the house and all of that, they have a bounty on our head. So I feel pretty popular. And but aside from all of that, we have seen God do some great, great, great things. Wouldn't change a thing. Would not change a thing.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank
yeah.
God.
Yeah. So your deputation was certainly limited here in the in the States, Brother Cantrell, but just a little bit about this deputation and maybe some others, the response of the church in general here in the U.S. to the heart of missions and to you, and just talk to us a little bit about that. What you're sensing in our churches here?
You know, I think that I know that, and even talking with other missionaries, the last few years have been totally different for missionaries traveling. There is such a hunger for the world to be reached. And I think that there's a pressing, I know that there is, there's a pressing and an urgency that the Lord is coming soon. And in a selfie-type world that we're living in right now, especially in the United States, the apostolics are not turning inward, but they're turning outward. Because we can see the signs of the times. The offerings for projects, we could be in a church of just a few people and would give more over than a church of thousands, because there is such a sacrificial giving going on.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think that's exactly what's going on, is that there is a sense that the Lord is coming soon. And so the churches are hungry to give and to go where they can go and see the kingdom of God grow.
Thank you. And that's an on-the-spot report. You hear of those things happening, and of course you've been there then in those various churches, and I can say we're sensing that urgency, that hunger here, the sense of the coming of the Lord, and then the giving of God's people. In our recent missions conference, we were able to help some missionaries in a very special way. So God is working through his church, and it is one body. And so it shouldn't surprise us that similar things are being sensed in so many different places. So thank you for that insight. Just when you are back over there in on your field of labor, typically is travel by Jeep or a car? What do you all use there?
Aside from camels, donkeys, and carts, She's for Christ has helped us to purchase a nice Land Cruiser. It's a 76 model. It's a square type of a car or SUV, four-wheel drive. When I'm going into villages, you could not go with a two-wheel drive car. We live in the Sub-Saharan Desert, first of all, and so we can hit about 115 degrees. It's got the big breather on it. For the dust storms and all of that. It's got the four-wheel drive that, you know, I can't break, because I couldn't fix it. If I broke it, I'd just be stranded. But, yeah, we've got a nice car. Typically what I'll do when security is okay to travel outside of the city, I'll take and put about five or six tents up on the top, load it with Bible school students, and off we go. And there's no greater joy. There is, and I'm missing it so bad. There's no greater joy than being in a village with our village pastors drinking horrible, horrible instant coffee in the morning and seeing the stars. It's a great feeling being out there with our people.
Y'all probably felt that and as well as heard that. No greater joy, and I really miss it. And those descriptions don't sound like anything that you would miss. You would be happy to miss those, but not in this case, because it's part of the mission and a part of the vision, a part of the heartbeat of the Cantrells. And so thank you for what you are giving to God and what you are giving to the people that you minister to, and then also giving to the United Pentecostal Church. So,
well, and the thing is with where we're at and where you're at, and I'm not talking so much to you, Brother Williford, but to the church, is that when you are doing exactly what you're called to do, whether you're teaching in an inner city school, whether you're teaching in a Sunday school, whether you're working as a cashier someplace, or maybe you're just serving your family, you know, a mother at home with her kids, when you're doing what God has called you to do, and not everyone's called to be chased by elephants like I am, there's this inner joy that makes you content. And Paul says, I'm content. The reason Paul was so content was because he had found the divine calling for his life. He was doing exactly what he wanted to do. And it doesn't matter if ISIS has got a bounty on your head or if your kid's got a runny nose. If you're in the divine calling for God in your life, there is this overwhelming joy and contentment that it doesn't matter what it's like outside. If you're in the middle of a village and you're dancing with the villagers, or if you're in the house with your wife and you're locked in because of a security problem, you're still in the will of God. And it's exciting. It's very exciting. You don't know my testimony. I was raised in the church, United Pentecostal Church, but I wasn't saved till I was 26 in Kansas City, Missouri, under Stan Gleason. And when I was saved, there was such a change in me. I was a radical. I was a Saul to a Paul. My wife raised our kids in the church. In fact, Brother Jackson over in Wood River, he and his wife discipled my wife. And when you have something like that and you know what you've got and you know the grace of God that's in your life, and that goes for all of us, great grace, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
We know you're on the deputational trail, but I'm sure you have some reports that you've brought back from that region where you are. And I guess even staying in contact currently as best you can?
We are still building our Bible school there. And so I'm in contact with our pastors daily through WhatsApp. It's a lot different world than even what it was in our last time. Mm-hmm. I got a report about 3 weeks ago that there was a church that had just come into our organization. We're going to put a picture up there. And there's about 100 members. There's no even wells that I know of. They pulled it out of a dirty river. There's that family right there. She's trying to get it up. There's that family of God, new family of God to the United Pentecostal Church. But bigger than being the United Pentecostal Church, that's a new family in the kingdom of God. We know that the kingdom of God is much bigger than the UPCI. But this church is a worshiping church. It's a growing church. I haven't even met the pastor yet. That's what's exciting. It's our leaders, our vice president there and treasurer and our national board. They're advancing without the missionary there. This is the second church they brought in. And to add 100 members into the kingdom of God is amazing. I've got, and I don't know if Amber, if we can see it or not, there's a video of them worshiping. It looks a lot different than the worship in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
We call it the stomp.
Awesome.
Who was that? That was God's Property. Whoever did that song, we had the original stomp in West Africa. But there's one guy, I want you to see his picture. There's one guy that we baptized, or they baptized, just this past Sunday.
Woo! Wow.
He's about 65 years old. He was the chief of what we call fetish, animist, or voodoo worship. He was probably raised up and given that title as a young man. He was the one that did the sacrifices. He's the one that took the chickens and took their heads off and did whatever goofy stuff they do there. Animist is the belief in the rocks and the water and everything as a god or a demigod. Well, he was baptized in Jesus' name. And then he brought all of his voodoo trinkets and stuff and destroyed it at the church. And so in your prayer, everybody's got his face in your mind. In your prayer this week, pray for him. Because this is another radical, radical, radical conversion. And for the main fetisher in the village to give himself to Jesus Christ. It's not unbelievable, because there's nothing unbelievable with God. But it's unprecedented. Let me say that. At that age, what he was coming out of was unprecedented.
Awesome. Wonderful. And that was this past Sunday he was baptized, Brother Kentra.
Yeah, that was just this Sunday. They'll go back down. They're continuing to baptize those members down there. In fact, we just raised some funds to build them a church. They won't be dancing underneath that tree anymore here in about 2 months. Once the funds come in, we're going to get them a church built, get them out of that sun. And it's going to be a simple building. It'll hold probably about 200 people. But it will be just a cinder block building. But yeah, the kingdom of God is growing in Burkina Faso. Pastors are being added. Bible school should have started this week because they were closed down because of the virus. And so we've got 13 that will be graduating here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, depending on how many classes they have left.
Speaking of the Bible school, I know that training is so important in so many different mission locations. It's being used around the world in a way to propagate the gospel and reproduce leaders and disciples. So talk to us a little bit about that, would you, Brother Cantrell, your vision for training there?
Well, any smart missionary knows that you cannot grow a work without a Bible school. And if you see the success that the work has in South America, specifically Brazil, with Brother DeMerchant, we have, I don't know how many Bible schools down there. Unbelievable man of God that knew that the only way you could reach the people is through the Word of God. We can send out pastors, but unless they're trained, what are they going to preach? Unless they have a good grasp of the Word of God, it's all in vain. And so everything that we do in Burkina Faso is discipleship. All the way from our young children up until even literacy training. And I mentioned this when we were in the church before, we're only 13% literate in our country. So how can we teach them the Word of God if they can't read? In fact, we only have two of our pastor's wives, actually three now, that can read the Word of God. And so we are starting at Discipleship 101, and literacy is a big part of that. And then from there on, we're doing the one-year diploma program through the GATS program, and it's growing. We've had over 75 to graduate Bible school since we've landed there, and we've seen the reward of it. There is no way that we could have had the growth that we had if we don't have a strong Bible school program.
Very good. And I know that in that training, you have the special project of the literal Bible school building, I guess. I don't know exactly how you're terming that. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah, we, as you know, I was saved in Kansas City. My pastor, Sam Gleason, one of the great Bible school teachers of our day was Wendell Gleason up at ABI. And many people know him from his character. But we decided to build the Wendell Gleason Memorial Educational Center. We named it that for two reasons. First, to give honor to Wendell Gleason, but secondly, to put the name Bible School in an Islamic community would not be too wise in the capital city. It would be a target. And so in this center, there are several things going on. We've got a preschool. Most of the kids that will be going to this school will be being raised by Islamic families. It will be a Christian school, and their families will know that it's a Christian school. We're going to start with 3, 4, and 5-year-old kids. We're going to teach them the Word of God. We're going to give them a solid foundation. We also have our Bible school there. There's two large Bible school classes that are going to be facilitating Bible school 1 year and 2 years. Of course, there's a large Bible school church there. The church itself will seat about 500. But if you see the video, if you've seen any photos of it, it's clear to see that there's a large terrace in the front. We will be able to tent that out for conferences, and we'll be able to seat at least 1,500 people on that property for church. In the back part of that facility, very back, is the Literacy Center and the Informatique, that's in French, Computer Training Center. Back there is where our students, our Bible school students, will be able to get a grasp of how to use computers. Electronics are not so prevalent in our country. But and able to for them to study the Word of God, we feel that they have to have good computer skills. So the site that you're seeing there, that is the Bible School going down. The classes are fairly large for growth. This back corner, of course, is the bibliotech, the library, plus the training center. We'll also use that for compassion. So if we're going to do any type of outreach or if we're going to have any healthcare come in to teach the community, we'll use that room for that. This side here, this back corner, is an art room. Our kids do not have paint. They do not have crayons. And so we're going to teach them how to use their creative abilities in that back corner, and then three large classrooms right here. And then you're looking straight in at the sanctuary, walking straight in. What's exciting is that we have raised the funds to finish this building. In fact, the ceilings are being finished up on the inside right now. I went to Menards. I've never been to Menards before in my life. I was excited. I told my wife, I said, I'm on overload. You can cut that video. I'm on overload and I'm spinning in circles. You got to talk me down. But I was picking out tile colors. So we'll start the tile. What we're needing the funds for projects right now is going to be for the training itself, to actually fund the training. This will take care of our Bible school students. This will take care of our teachers, our staff, of course, paying the electric bill. We have to raise all those funds. We're not going to charge our little kids as parents that are making $3 a day, you know, a large scholarship. And so this will help to finance that project. The project itself is about $28,000 total to fund it for 4 years. But we're excited to get this project taken care of.
Very good. And we feel your heart. And at some point, we want to try to partner with you on that. Of course, we're already a monthly partner with you, Brother Cantrell and the church folk. You may remember we partnered with them when they were with us in 2015. But I want you to speak to us, and then we're going to let this need kind of settle in our hearts, and we want to be a part. We want to partner with that, and APC is going to do that. I want to give you a little opportunity just to minister the word of the Lord for just a few moments here, and then we'll come back, and perhaps folks will be able to respond with giving, and if in a future service or even in this service tonight, they can send us a message or whatever. But go ahead, Brother Cantrell, just open to us the word of God here.
Last month, God was really dealing with me to take extra time in the word. And when I say that, it's to slow down a bit. And so I took last month just for the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. This month, I'm in 1 Samuel. I will actually stay in 1 Samuel all of this month and just taking it bit by bit. And it struck me, this section of verse in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. And Samuel, as you know, was given, in fact, it says he was lent to the Lord, was given to the Lord for service. And it's a very powerful story when you break it down. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of the Lord went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Samuel was probably about 2 or 3 years old when Hannah dropped him off and said, this is going to be your life. And when you think about that in the mind of a child, a 2 or 3 year old, mom walking away, he's laying in the greatest place that he could be. His room was in the presence of God. There's a young man that I met in Burkina Faso our last term. His name is Kingda. And Kingda is about 6'7". He's got about a 32-inch waist. He's just one rock of muscle. And Kingda was raised to be a devout Islamic man. His family was totally Islamic. Everything they did, everything they aspired for him to be, was to be a good, solid, devout Muslim. I began working with Kingda. And there was one time the Lord began to move on him. And he gave his life to God. In fact, he may have been the first Muslim I baptized in the name of Jesus. I remember when he and his wife got the Holy Ghost, she got it first and he was aggravated. He was actually mad because she got it before him. But when he got the Holy Ghost, there was a transformation. You see, Kingda was our guard. So when I would lay my head down to sleep at night, knowing this big mountain of a man outside that was watching the door, I was able to sleep pretty good. But I remember after Kingda received the Holy Ghost, he came to me. He'd had some time of prayer in his room, in the guard's room at our house. And he said, "Missionary," he said, "I'm broken." And I said, "What do you mean, Kingda? What do you mean you're broken?" He said, "When I pray, I cry. Something's wrong with me." He says, "I can't stop speaking in tongues. What is going on in my life?"
Yeah.
Kingda was in a place of solitude. Kingda was in a place of isolation. He pulled himself out of that Islamic culture. My wife and I would wake up or be awoken because the room was just beneath our bedroom. 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, this ex-Islamic man interceding for his missionary. A time of isolation, a time of growing with God. There was a time that Kingda and his wife, they were heading to church. And when they passed, they were on the motorcycle, and it was he and his wife and their three children. So five people on a motorcycle going to church. They go by this big crowd of about 200 people, and the Lord told Kingda, "Stop, I want you to go back to that crowd." And Kingda said, "Lord, I can't, I'm late for church." And the Lord told Kingda, "Kingda, I want you to go back, and I want you to go back to that crowd." And Kingda said, "Okay, Lord, I will." He goes, "I got off of my motorcycle, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to speak in tongues." He said, "When I walked upon that crowd," he said, "there were two boys that had been fighting, and one had fallen and hit his head on the cement, and he had died. And the crowd was standing there looking at that dead body." Kingda said, "I told my wife, you get at his feet, I'm going to get at his head, and we're going to pray." So they began to pray for this lifeless little eight-year-old, and he began to breathe. The ambulance came, and they carried the little boy off, but Kingda didn't see him get up. And he said, "It's not enough." So they followed that ambulance on their motorcycle to the hospital. They laid the little boy on a gurney. And Kingda said, "Give me one more minute with this child." Kingda walked in, ex-Muslim, illiterate, cannot read a word, sleeps with his Bible on his chest. His Bible is worn out, and he cannot read a word. And he walked into that room with that child, laid hands on him in Jesus' name, and the boy got up.
Praise God.
This was on Sunday. Kingda was our night guard. He showed up to work that night. The next morning, on Monday morning before he left, he said, "Missionary," he goes, "Well, I was with him, and his phone rang, and it was the little boy and his mother." And he said, "Monsieur," he said, "God raised me from the dead, and you were his instrument," in whatever language he used. But Kingda learned that time with God in isolation. He learned that time when he was separated with God. Look and see where we're at today. Look and see where you're at in your house today. The Bible says, and I love this, in that chapter, it says, And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The prophets weren't speaking. The youth group wasn't getting together. The pastor wasn't preaching to you face to face to encourage you. Not much vision going on. It's all about survival right now. But the word of God was precious. And Samuel laid himself down that night, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, Samuel, Samuel. We know the story. It's so cool. Samuel gets up, and he runs to Eli. He says, Eli, did you call me? And Eli says, no. He says, go lay back down, son. Samuel lays back down, and the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs back to Eli. And I love it at the end. It says, the Lord came and stood. Where? He stood in that place of solitude. He stood in that place of isolation, this boy that was taken from his parents. This boy that was thrown into a choice that God had made for him. He didn't make that choice for himself. He was dropped off at 3 years old. Total isolation. So I've asked myself, and my wife has asked myself, and my wife has even challenged me. Have we grown in this time of isolation? In fact, I want to do a survey. If you've grown in this time of isolation, put a thumbs up. If you struggle, put a thumbs down on Facebook. Thumbs up if you're growing, thumbs down if you're not. Got it? I can promise you that if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, that this has been a blessed time. No other time in my generation have we been cut off from the busyness. We can't say now we don't have time to seek the face of God. We can't say now that there's no time to do what we need to do. There's no time even now to minister. The opportunity to minister to our neighbors right now has been wide open. Do you need some toilet paper? I got an extra roll. God has given us this time to grow in Him. So my question to you tonight, church, as Samuel heard the voice of God, are you hearing His voice? I believe you are. Are you listening to His voice? I believe you are. But after God spoke to Samuel, He began to give him direction. Soon we are going to go back to normal. I don't accept this as our new normal. It's God's plan for us to touch. It's God's plan for us to embrace. It's God's plan for us to be relational, because God is relational. He will not allow His body not to be relational and in contact. It's God's plan for us to lay hands on the sick and then recover. How can we do that if we're in isolation? We will go back to true apostolic ministry. And this time is going to end. And it's ending soon. States are opening up. Kids are going to be going back to school. We're going to have our day planners. We're going to have our schedules. We're going to have our deadlines. We're going to get back to work. We're going to get back into our routine. But now is the time. What will you do with this time that you have in St. Louis County when it's not all opened up? Redeem this time to be like young Samuel and say, Lord, here I am. I've got nothing else to do but talk to you. You know, there's been times in my life I'm not an extrovert. In fact, this is only the second service I've done like this. I'm much happier being video being chased by an elephant as than I am talking to a screen. I don't get this. But I have felt more alone in a crowd of 2,000 people. And I'm sure you can say that you have too. There's times in our lives that you can walk into a conference, even general conference, and you feel like you're alone and you don't have a friend in the world. But if isolation is just you and God, God has given us this blessed time. Don't despise this time. He didn't send a sickness. I don't believe that. But He's also given us the Spirit, His Spirit, so that we would go through it and learn from him. God is teaching his church to return back to apostolic values. He's teaching his church how to pray when the government shuts it down. You know, Saul was chasing the church. Where was the church? The church was in isolation. Where did the church grow? The church grew in isolation. Why? Because their dependence was 100% on God. And their focus was on him. So I want to encourage you tonight to look at your time. I'm looking at my time. I'm looking at how I spend my time during my days. There have been days that I've really connected with God. And to be honest with you, there's many days I watch way too much HGTV. Because I can go to Menards and buy it now. I can't get that stuff in Burkina Faso. But even HGTV can be bad for you if you're not redeeming this time. And so I just want you to encourage you to take this time of what we would call isolation. We're not isolated. We're with God. We're not alone. A spirit-filled believer does not know and will never live in isolation because we're never alone. We are never alone. And our new norm, you want a new norm? Our new norm is finding God in our homes. Finding God. And our pastor and brother Israel, Pastor Israel, which is the vice president of the work in Burkina Faso, he wrote me. I said, how are the churches doing? He goes, they're doing great. He said, there's no more church. They closed our doors. I said, what's happening? He said, the men and the women are having to stand up and be the spiritual priests of their homes now. He said, that sounds like apostolic ministry to me, doesn't it? It's time for us to stand up and be the priest of our homes and lead our children. My kids, Jennifer, her and her husband, Zach, are missionaries in Rwanda. She received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our living room in a prayer meeting, isolated, just my wife and her and our son, Justin. Jennifer was 6 years old, began speaking in tongues. Justin looked at Jennifer just like Kinda looked at his wife and said, you got the Holy Ghost before I did? That's not right. Jennifer she walked over to Justin, laid hands on him. She was 6, he was 8. He began speaking in tongues. And if God can do that in the Cantrell home, he certainly can do it in your home. We're not isolated.
Yes,
the presence of God, the Spirit of God, we haven't missed a beat. The kingdom of God is advancing. The church is growing. Churches are still giving. Don't be discouraged. Our new norm will be walking into new apostolic authority and apostolic power because Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Praise God.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Cantrell. And Brother Cantrell, I want you to pray over us right now. I'm going to ask the church and guests that are joining with us to just, let's agree together, and I want this man of God, he's spoken a word to us in our time of isolation, but he has given us some more direction, and I know we're getting ready to come out of this, but we're going to use whatever has happened to us, and God is going to help us. Brother Cantrell, would you just pray over us right now?
Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of spending more time with you. I thank you, Lord, for the time that you provided for us in this difficult time. I thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten your children. God, that you've been with us every day. You do not work in this zone of isolation. There is no isolation with you. I thank you, Lord, that there have been more people and more unsaved husbands have felt, God, your presence in their home as their wives have cried out for you. I thank you, Lord, for the peace, God, that has rested in homes, God, of the apostolic believers, of children that were maybe even protected from the things of this world as they were under the protection of their praying mother and their praying fathers. I thank you, Lord, for every father that has stood up and stepped up and led his family in nightly devotion. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon the apostolic church. I thank you, Lord, that you're coming soon, but I thank you, Lord, for the many lessons that you have taught us through what some would say a difficult time. But Lord, it has been a blessed time. We choose to be content in this time. We choose, God, to give you glory in this time. You have not changed. You have just called us closer to you. I thank you, Lord, for every pastor, God, that has been pushed outside the box, that has released his saints, God, to have a walk with you. I pray, God, that the Church of the Living God would begin to advance and continue to grow and continue to move in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. Let there be a sweeping, God, in our neighborhoods. All of these people, God, have been in their homes for the last 6 weeks. I pray, God, that there would be such an impact in their neighborhoods. God, that when the doors of the church open up, God, that there would be such a flowing back of the backsliders. The backsliders have taken the church for granted for many years, and the doors have been closed, but the church is coming open again, and the backsliders are going to come back in the name of Jesus. I speak to every son and every daughter that have been discouraged, that they would find their place in the body of Christ again. I pray, God, that you would move, God, upon, God, the cities, God, all over this world. God, this is not just a St. Louis thing. This is a world revival, and I pray, God, that the eyes of those, God, that have seeked your face, God, would find true revelation in who you are. God, let that our baptismal tanks be filled in the next few weeks. God, let people come in and rejoice to be back in the presence of God. But I pray, God, that we would come out of this pandemic, God, changed and moved in your power. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And we receive it. We receive the prayer of faith. And going to see the results of that. And God is going to use this time and use us. And you know, the God that takes care of us in good times or normal times is the same God that can take care of us in these kind of times where there's health challenges and there are financial challenges. I spoke with Brother Cantrell yesterday. And he was very sensitive and conscientious about the needs and even presenting the training center. But we both know, and all of us know, that God that takes care of us in the good times is the very same. And this pandemic or this financial crisis has not impacted his provisional power. So I want us to participate. And it feels like a little more of a challenge when folks aren't here to be able to lift a hand or put an envelope right in a basket on location tonight. If you want to respond via Facebook, but maybe just privately you want to respond by going to the website or bringing an offering by, and you can just name it Cantrell or Training Center or West Africa. Whatever you want to put on there, we'll know what you mean. And I want us to be a part of that. I know my wife and I are going to be a part of that. We're going to do $500 toward that and let this mission continue. And, of course, I love that name, to put Brother Gleason's name on there. What a great man of God he was. And it was his vision and his purpose to train people. And thank the Lord. And I, now when you can feel the excitement, and I'll call it the glory of God about Menards, I think you got mission at your heart. So we thank the Lord for what is going to happen there. So I encourage guests that are with us. I encourage the saints of God. We never miss by giving to the Lord. And so, in whatever means that you, and whatever you can do. And by the way, I thought earlier today, Brother Cantrell, when you all were here with us before, when you were telling the story of Kinda and then the man that was baptized, I thought about this young man. He was about 10 or 11 at that time. And you still have some contact with him at this point in time, right?
Oh, yeah. He is, as they would say, you do. He's 16 now. I had mentioned that, you know, ISIS has kind of taken our country. Pray for Saidu. The orphanage that he is in is right in a hot spot in the north. They've had attacks all the way around. But what's cool is that Saidu, and I don't know if I was prophesying it, speaking, I said that he will attend our Bible school. He's 16 years old now. He feels a call of God on his life. This is without him being in my life, except for just touching base. He has full intention of attending our Bible school. And so in the next few years, he'll be moving down to the capital city of Owaga when this Bible school gets opened up. And he'll be coming. So, yeah, that's Saidu. He's a little guy, if you remember, that he lost his arm. And but that's not going to stop him. He can hold a Bible with one hand, and that's no problem at all. So God's will be done in his life.
I know his testimony touched our hearts in 2015 when you all told that story, and then you gave us this picture. And so we may display it out there. We're getting ready, as you know, to open up here in a couple of weeks, full-fledged. So just as a reminder of the Bible school and the work of God that you all are doing. So you prayed for us, Brother Cantrell, and I'm going to ask Brother Reaver. Normally what we have is we have the church either gather around or extend their hands toward you. So I want us to pray, church. I want us to pray for the Cantrells, that God would strengthen them in every way spiritually, anoint them in their ministry, bless them financially and emotionally and physically for strength and to open doors for them. And I'm going to ask Brother Reaver to lead us in prayer as we pray for this man of God and his wife and his family. Brother Reaver, would you pray?
Why don't you stretch your hand toward Brother Cantrell? Lord God,
yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We love you, God.
Thank you for him, God.
Thank
you for all the things
thank
you have done.
Thank you for your grace.
All that love.
Thank you for your provision.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Don't let me get too far from that day.
Thank you.
Touch our nation. Touch Jim.
Our country. I ask in the name of Jesus. Be revealed.
Yes.
Not aware of your glory and power.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can trust. Give them physical strength. Spiritual strength. Emotionally help them, I pray, Lord God.
Under
every need material.
Thank you.
That blessing I got to them. I pray that they will continue being a blessing to the church. You've been a blessing to this church congregation tonight. Through their heartbeat. Use them, God, greatly for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And I tell you what, so many great testimonies here, and you'll be able to go back later if you choose to and view this service again and get inspired again and hear those testimonials of what God is doing there in Burkina Faso and West Africa and the other regions, and even though they have their challenges. So when you hear about those lockdowns and bombings, it kind of makes our situation look, maybe it's not as bad as we thought it was.
Yeah, it's a piece of cake.
Okay.